Probably not. Unbelievable.
It's time for your Green and Gold update on Wisconsin Sports Daily, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook on 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, The Fan, with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer.
To the Fan Guest Hotline, powered by Gruber Law. Haven't talked to this dude since May. I didn't realize it'd been that long. I went to text him. I was like, oh my God, it's been a minute. Ryan Wood of the Green Bay Press Gazette, Packer beat writer. Follow him on Twitter at @ByRyanWood. You can see his pretty bald mug right there on YouTube. Search The Fan Milwaukee and you will see it. We were talking about this very topic, bald heads, earlier in the show. We're talking about, you know, nobody's bald head is photographed more than Rob Domofsky's bald head and put on social media. But then we were having the conversation of those people that are losing their hair that then decide to make the choice to shave it all off because they think they look better. What was the situation for you, Ryan Wood, that you decided to shave it all off?
Oh, I held on to mine about 4 years too late. I should have let go around the age of 28. Even as a kid, and my oldest son's afflicted by the same thing, it's genetics. Even as a kid, I had that very high hairline. The writing was always on the wall, and I was very stubborn. It was about the age of 32 that I finally took the plunge, and as soon as I did, I was like, what was I holding on for? I have no idea. You look at pictures of me in my late 20s. It was a travesty what was going on at the top. So I will say this. Rob Domofsky has been trying to get me to wear a hat out at training camp practices. This is the time of year where you have to be very, very conscientious. If you don't, you turn into a tomato real quick out there.
Yes.
So far, I've been going with the trusty sunscreen. Haven't turned into a tomato, but it's precarious.
Why don't you just wear one of those like big bucket hats that the coaches seemingly wear in high school and college and so forth out there?
You know, I don't think I have a bucket hat type head. I don't think it just.
You have to have a certain type of head to wear a bucket hat?
You got
to
have a certain type of head.
Certain,
yeah, for sure.
Certain heads
really
require certain hats. And yeah, every bald. You're not bald. You don't know this.
No, but Gary Ellerson wears a bucket hat. It looks great on him.
He looks great. He's got a head for a bucket hat. He absolutely does. I do not. Me and Gary Ellison do not have the same head.
Okay. All right. I didn't know it was a touchy subject. I'm sorry.
It is.
I apologize. I have no idea.
You're not bald. You don't know these things.
No, I don't know those things, and that's why you're educating me, Ryan. No, that's fine. All right. All right. With Green Bay Press Gazette joins us. I think the last segment we just talked about what happened with LaFleur calling out Kraft responding after practice. I think this is like one of the only times that I can remember since LaFleur's been here where a player was clearly agitated by LaFleur calling him out in the media when the media went to talk to that player. Would you agree with that assessment or no?
Yeah, probably. You look, Tucker Kraft is understandably a little sensitive because he's put the ball on the ground twice already, and he's done so without being able to do what he feels is his entire repertoire. We've seen Tucker Kraft, the yak king, the yak god. We know what he can do when he has the football in his hands, catching those leaks, those checkdowns, those little out routes. He likes a good stiff arm. Well, in practice, stiff arm, and he was telling me this, I spoke with him for about 8 minutes a couple days ago about a more pertinent subject, I think. How do the Packers offense get Tucker Kraft feature him to be that number one? Because I think that he is a rare breed of tight end. That there's not a lot of those guys in this league. He has shown to have the potential to be one of them. I was talking about that, and Tucker Kraft just randomly told me, you know, I can't use my stiff arm out here. Like, that's bothering him.
Clearly.
He's not happy about it. He likes a good stiff arm. So I think it's coming from that sensitivity, that place of, I can't use the stiff arm. What do you want me to do? I can't, like, punch a guy in the face like I can in a game. Of course, they're going to get a better shot on the ball when I can't keep them away. So this will all blow over. But I think the bigger thing is Tucker Kraft, how does schematically, because he's also fundamental to their blocking game. He's a big reason why the Packers were top five rushing offense last year. It wasn't just Josh Jacobs, that offensive line. It was Tucker Kraft. It was his blocking ability, and when you have a blocking tight end, classic inline, you also need to have a guy that's closer to the line of scrimmage. It's harder to get him downfield. Schematically, how do you open up those opportunities? Because every time Tucker Kraft went downfield last year, he made plays. That should be a big part of their arsenal as well.
Talking with Ryan Wood, Packers, a beat writer for the Green Bay Press Gazette here on Wisconsin Sports Daily, served up by Wendy's on the Fancy Sparky Pfeiffer with you. So a lot to be made, and obviously we weren't there, so we rely on all you guys that are there that are giving us play-by-play on Twitter to tell us what all is going on there. But apparently there was some extracurricular activity in this practice yesterday that LaFleur was mad about. So what exactly went down that triggered Rashid Walker and others to go run a lap at a practice?
Yeah, well, this has been bubbling really since the start of camp, really since Nate Hobbs. This might have been day one, day two, ran through Dontavian Wicks without pads to force an incompletion. I mean, it kind of started there. The new guy comes in, and the Packers love this about Nate Hobbs. He has physicality as a corner. He's not a corner that's just there to cover.
Right.
He wants to hit you, too. They want that in their secondary. It's just that hitting on game day in the fall is good. Hitting when it's non-padded against your own teammate, not so good. So when that happens, Matt LaFleur, to his credit, went right up to Nate Hobbs early in camp, said, hey, that's not it. That's not what we want to do here. But it started to build from that. And then, you know, Nate Hobbs goes in and he hits Marshawn Lloyd. And the Packers say that the injury, the groin injury to Marshawn Lloyd, was not a contact hit. It came before the contact, but he still hit the guy. And it just starts to grow. To the point of yesterday, I was walking off the practice field thinking, I've never seen a practice, certainly in Matt LaFleur's time, maybe not in my time of the beat, going back to 2014, where you had so many guys on the ground. Every single coach in the NFL will tell you this time of year, when it's teammate on teammate, they do not want anyone on the ground. Keep your feet, play through the whistle, but not after. Nothing after. And there's a lot of after going on yesterday. And then I'm walking in, and Tom Silverstein, my colleague, he asked me and Pete Doherty, he's like, you remember that practice way back when Josh Sitton was actually swinging his helmet around? So I mean, this type of thing does happen, but it is rare, and it was it crossed some lines yesterday. So Kingsley Anibare was engaged with Rashid Walker, and after the whistle, he's bowling him over, and Rashid Walker pulls him on the ground. Next thing you know, Matt LaFleur's losing his mind a little bit on the sideline, saying he's not going to take that, and sends Rashid Walker to run a lap. And then Tucker Kraft, Josh Sitton, Zach Tom, some guys on the offensive line, they join him and they do the lap with him, which is good solidarity. But at the end of the day, yeah, you want that physicality. You do not want guys on the ground after the whistle. They have to clean that up because that's when injuries happen. Sparky, I think it's going to be very interesting when the Indianapolis Colts joint practice, when the Seattle Seahawks come in here. There's been some angst that might bubble over. That's going to be very interesting when they're going against someone else in camp.
Said it yesterday. Again, I wasn't there, but I said it yesterday. I said it again. I absolutely love it. And if I was Matt LaFleur, I'd go in the locker room after I said what I said on the field. I'd go to Jeff Half and be like, publicly, I'm going to absolutely blast y'all, and I'm going to do it in front of the team and everything else. But I do not want anything changing of how these guys are playing defensively. This Packers team, in my lifetime, I don't believe they've ever really played with an edge since Gilbert, Leroy, and those guys, and Wayne Simmons back in the day. I mean, that was the last time they really kind of played with an edge. Yeah, a little bit of it maybe when Clay was there and so forth, but it was never an intimidating Rex Ryan type defense where when you saw these guys, you knew it was going to be a street fight and they did not care about you or your livelihood or anything about your family. They were going to run through you to get to whoever they had to get to. And when they got there, if that player got hurt, whatever, we're just doing our jobs and we're going to go on to the next play and try and take out the next dude. If that type of mentality comes through this defense this year, this defense is going to be significantly better. If you've got Hobbs playing like that, if you've got Cooper playing like with that, Ingabare, I think, definitely has the wherewithal to play like that as well. I think Gary could play like that and has that type of mentality. If you start playing like that and knocking jokers backwards and doing that type of stuff, that can get into offenses' heads, and all of a sudden they start to be on a swivel a little bit, making sure somebody's not coming to take a shot at them.
Well, one of the most impressive things I've seen through the first week of camp, outside of Matthew Golden, because Matthew Golden's just been downright impressive. Outside of Matthew Golden, one of the most impressive things I've seen, because it happened right in front of me, it was the type of play that exemplified why Rashawn Gary was a Pro Bowler last year, despite the fact that he didn't blow up with 15 sacks. He was chasing down from the backside Jaden Reed all the way to the sideline on one of those jet sweeps, right in front of me, before the sideline. The play's over, but Rashawn Gary punches out the football, forces a fumble that goes out of bounds, but punches it out with such ferocity that it was like, it was jolting. It started just the way that he punched at it. And it was very interesting then to have that in mind. And today Jeff Hafley says, you know, they took the ball away last year. Didn't force enough fumbles. They've got Wendell Davis, their defensive quality control coach, who they don't call Wendell Davis anymore. He is the ball king known as the ball king inside 1265 Lombardi. He starts every meeting because, as Jeff Hafley says,
right,
the ball is the most important thing. And he's their entire focus, their emphasis, their priority number one in this camp is attacking the football to force more fumbles. Here's the interesting thing about that, Sparky. Yeah, they had a lot of interceptions last year, 17.
A lot of that was McKinney, but yeah.
They were third in the league in fumbles recovered, too, with 14. It's not like they didn't force fumbles last year, and yet the number one priority for this defense coordinator, is forcing more fumbles. This is a guy who's not resting on the fact that they had takeaways last year, just assuming that's going to happen again. He wants more.
This is the thing, Ryan Wood. I know a lot of times over our course of years interacting during training camp, maybe I overreact to things that are in training camp, and you're like, Sparky, chill out, just relax, it's training camp. But I'm always going to do it till the day I die, so you know, I think by this point you're used to it. But when I read on my social media that Van Ness is beating Jordan Morgan multiple times, I just kind of shake my head. And I'm not shaking my head because I'm impressed by Van Ness. I'm shaking my head because, again, we got a first-round pick that wasn't able to get on the field last year. I'm not quite sure he's going to be able to crack the starting five this year. Getting beat by a guy that has been a bust to this point of his career, not getting to the quarterback. I don't know how you look at that, by him getting beat on one-on-ones, if it's a big deal to you or not, but if it is that more of a positive about how much better Van Ness is, or is it, oh no, Jordan Morgan still isn't where he needs to be?
Well, first of all, Sparky, it brings me great comfort to know that you get us. You get our dynamic. You freak out, and I'm here as kind of the ice pack to just say it's okay.
But Ryan, that's a dynamic everybody seemingly has with me. Anytime I have anybody on, you get off real easy. If you go back and listen to interviews I do with Andrew Wagner, who covers the Brewers, who's on with me twice a week, you should have heard me yelling and screaming at him for 15 minutes the other day about the Brewers doing nothing at the trade deadline. I don't yell and scream at you, really. I try and treat you very nicely. Yes, I do.
Because we've been down that rabbit hole. So, yeah. Look, the answer to your question is we'll find out. I'm not real sure. I think that there's some logic with Lucas Van Ness, the fact that he's able to play with two hands now. Last year in camp, through the first half of the season, he wasn't playing with two hands. If you're an edge rusher, you need to use your hands. Yep. That is the game. So he's got two hands. That should be better. Jeff Hafley was singing Lucas Van Ness's praises early day for his start to camp. So we'll see. You know, with both those guys, I kind of need to see something when it matters before I really have an idea. Lucas Van Ness, I need to see those counter moves, that those pass rush tools, the bend, the torque coming off the edge. I need to see that in games more consistently before I'm able to say, yeah, okay, but he's playing with two hands. That should help. Jordan Morgan, I need to see him actually, with Elton Jenkins back at center, finally they're going to be able to open up this left tackle competition. I don't know if it's a competition or a competition in air quotes, because I'd be shocked if Rasheed Walker is not only your starting left tackle week one, but throughout this season. I don't see Jordan Morgan beating out Rasheed Walker. Not that Rasheed Walker's an all-pro. He's not, but he's a starting caliber left tackle. There's not a lot of those guys in this league. The Packers have one. I just don't see that happening. But without Elton Jenkins, Sean Ryan's at center, which means that Jordan Morgan's at guard, which means Rasheed Walker's taking all the left tackle team reps. Now Jordan Morgan should be able to get more reps at left tackle. We'll see if that happens or not. But I didn't see it last year from Jordan Morgan. I need to see it. He is a first-round pick, but I need to see it before I can say, okay, there's something there.
I don't know. This is going to be the question. But I don't know who your one or two players are that you're interested in kind of watching here. Obviously, everybody's watching Golden, and he's done well so far. But for me, I really am wondering to see how they use Belton, because in my mind, he can be right tackle, and Tom can slide into guard after this year if they want to go that way, because you just gave Tom a contract, so he's not going to complain. He's getting paid regardless. Or you could put Belton at right guard and leave Tom at right tackle and solidify that right side. No matter which way you go, you take care of that right side with Jenkins in the middle. Then you have a mammoth guy at left guard in Banks already, and then Rasheed Walker stays at left tackle, or Jordan Morgan goes there. That is a people-moving offensive line, I think, going forward.
Yeah, you know, Belton has the size for sure to go inside and play guard. He can maul people. Zach Tom now has the money. He told me it was very important to him to be paid like a top right tackle, despite the versatility, because he's been a top right tackle, and now he's paid like a top right tackle, fourth in the league at his position. That will help, you know, help when if there's a time that he comes inside and plays guard. Now, I don't see that happening. I think Brian Gutekunst made it very clear that he secured himself at right tackle. You have a good right tackle. You have a good tackle in general. You don't want to move him inside. So I think Zach Tom stays there. What does that mean for Belton? You know, Rashid Walker might walk in a year, and maybe it's Anthony Belton who's the left tackle. Maybe it's Jordan Morgan by that time. We'll see. Maybe they do keep Rashid Walker. It's just a lot of money for the offensive line. But to kind of flip things, Sparky, what you're saying to the guy I have my eye on, I'm real curious about Isaiah Simmons. He is a guy, when it comes to the just pure athletic, God-given traits, you can see why he was the eighth pick in the 2020 draft. What I haven't seen yet, but that doesn't mean it doesn't exist because the proof is on his Pro Football Reference page, right? What I haven't seen yet is why he hasn't stuck, why this is his third team in 4 or 5 seasons, why he hasn't been able to play up to that billing. The Packers have been giving Isaiah Simmons a ton of first-team reps in a way to make sure that they can figure out what there is there. Like, they're real interested themselves. If nothing else, last year, the Packers really – outside Quay Walker, they didn't have a guy at linebacker that had the physical tools to be that prototypical strong side linebacker to take on with the size and the athleticism, the drop in coverage. They didn't have that guy. Isaiah Simmons has strong side linebacker tools. That might only be 20% of the snaps, but when you're sharing a division with the Detroit Lions, that means more 4-3 in two of your biggest games of the year. You want to have a really staunch, strong side linebacker. Isaiah Simmons might be that guy. That's base level, like at the very least. What else could he do? I don't know, but he's got all the athleticism, all those athletic tools. I'm curious. I'm not saying he's going to be anything. I don't know. Maybe just a special teamer. I'm curious if the Packers coaching staff on the defensive side can pull out the best of Isaiah Simmons, because there's a lot there.
I mean, Simmons, Cooper, and Quay Walker seems to be, you know, one of the more athletic linebacker groups in the NFL if they're all on the field at the same time.
Freaks. All three of those guys are athletic freaks. You know, and we know it's – and nickel, it's going to be Quay Walker. It's going to be Edgerrin Cooper. So if they're healthy, they're not going to leave the field much. But having a guy, having some depth – and Isaiah McDuffie doesn't have the freakish athleticism, but he's just a solid football player. There's some real depth at linebacker in a way that – few years ago going on, it just hadn't been that way for a long time.
No doubt about it. There he is, Ryan Wood of the Green Bay Press Gazette. Follow him on Twitter by Ryan Wood. And you can see him on YouTube as well, as we live stream all of our shows now, all of our local shows on YouTube. Just search The Fan Milwaukee, shorts, videos, live streaming of all the local shows. Ryan, thanks so much for coming on, man, and enjoy the rest of training camp. And yeah, good luck, because now you're in the thick of it, buddy.
Oh, these are the dog days. We'll do. I'll try to keep the head nice and you know, pinkish rather than red.
Yeah, I would not. There's no way I'd be gambling. I'm a suntan lotion freak already. I layer it on. Oh, it's way too much for everybody in my family, but I'm not trying to get burned. There's absolutely no chance of that. Ryan, thank you, sir.
All right, take care.